All right, hour two out of bounds. William Quaggenbush and Ben Milstead live inside the Upcountry Fiber studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. 654 Roars, the number. This hour of the program brought to you by our friends at PhD Weight Loss. Would you believe this? I stepped on the scale this morning after a home football game weekend, a basketball game, attended a basketball game on Friday. I had a dinner yesterday, and I lost over a pound this weekend. And the reason I did that is because of self-control. But it's not just self-control. It's not just fighting and scratching and clawing. It is the tools I was taught in the PhD weight loss program and some of the reasons for weight gain and how to avoid it. Not just that, but reverse weight gain and then keep it off. The holidays are here. You're going to encounter some situations where you're going to probably think, well, I'll just put on a few pounds and then we'll lose it. We'll get back on track in the new year. But here's the thing. You don't have to roll into the new year with regret. You can do it right now. You can start the program right now at PhD Weight Loss. Just for booking, you're going to get their 5 steps to reset the scale book absolutely free. They're also waiving your consultation fee, adding 2 weeks to your program free, and covering the cost of your food. But in order to get those bonuses, you got to mention code 2026START to get started. That's 2026START when you call 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or visit them online at myphcweightloss.com. Texter says this. Mr. Ann Offender says, which I love this, the long memory. Saturday was tremendous as I witnessed Roger Buchanan, stout and spirited, celebrating the Tigers football victory with roasted potatoes, salted pork, a gin and tonic in one hand and old-fashioned in the other, declaring between bites, glory tastes best with salt and gin. Roger Buchanan makes an appearance on the show. Gladly.
If you missed Friday's show, you know, it was elite.
It was an elite show.
Yes. We're going to see if we can overuse the word elite today. There's another one. It was an elite show Friday.
I actually believe it on Friday's show.
I did have some friends talk to me about Roger Buchanan at the basketball game Friday night. Multiple, in fact.
Oh,
old
man.
Roger.
His grave was beautiful.
Old Roger, our 17th president. Old Roger.
I believe he succeeded Ben Franklin, I believe. By the way, we should note, game time's out for the Furman game. 4:30 kick. That's 4:30 with a 4, folks.
I love it. I opened that email just... I already had in my mind that was a noon game. I just assumed. So, yeah, that'll be nice.
We knew it wasn't a night game because Dabo... And I don't know if it was a Freudian slip from Dabo or if he just was speaking out of turn or what... But he talked about how happy he was for the seniors in their last night game in Death Valley to get a win. And I was like, wait a minute. We don't know that for sure yet, Dabo. We don't know. So maybe he had some insight into it ain't going to be 7. It's going to be noon or it's going to be after, you know, like late afternoon.
Well,
situation.
This time 4:30 might as well be a night game. It'll be night by halftime.
Yeah, you'll be able to use the LEDs for the halftime show.
And I go to the game for the football. But Military Appreciation Game is a little different, and Senior Day is a little different. And I'm not going to lie. I am not disappointed that halftime will be under the lights during the military tributes. Not disappointed in that.
Oh, that will be cool.
It just hits a little different.
That rarely happens, too. It feels like those are mostly day games. Oh, that'll be that'll be tremendous. All right. I want to say this. I said in the last segment, I want to couch it and sort of caveat it some. I said I feel like it wasn't Clemson's best game this month, that Clemson played better against Duke. This is the difference. Well, first of all, here's the reason why I say that. Do you know Clemson had 2 different stints of 3 consecutive 3 and outs in the game? Twice in the game, Clemson went 3 and out 3 consecutive drives. They were losing field position battle tremendously at halftime. I think it was like 12, 13, 14 yards, something like that. They were losing a field position battle. But here's what happened, okay? Clemson forced a turnover inside the red zone with Castellanos. And, yeah, they punted it right back, but they forced a turnover. They made Florida State drive it again. And they didn't. Florida State is unable to do what Duke did and convert 78 consecutive fourth downs last week. Florida State's unable to do that. And I'll be honest with you, we will know, but the stat sheet doesn't know who was open or not open or what happened. Clemson got off the field on a fourth down. And even if it was maybe the pressure forced Castellanos to throw it a little quicker or maybe in a way that wasn't expected, whatever, I'm not going to say that Clemson didn't have something to do with getting off the field on that fourth down. And then you know what good teams do? We talked about Indiana. In no way is Clemson an elite team, but we talked about Indiana when they had to have it or when the opportunity presented itself, boom, they're stepping right through the door. Oregon, Iowa, similar thing. Oregon's down late, and Dante Moore turns into Dante Culpepper. Like, he just starts knifing down the field, and they kick a field goal and win the game in horrible weather conditions. But he was awesome in the last drive when you have to have it. You know what Clemson did? When Florida State drops the pass and they can't convert on the fourth down that should have been a touchdown, Clemson makes them pay. There were so many drives in the Duke game where it felt like Clemson did good things, but they never made Duke pay for anything. They never made Duke pay. You throw it right to a defender twice in a two-minute defense, and you drop the ball. So then you give up the long touchdown.
Or you block a punt, and then you give up a kickoff return.
That's correct. It was like the whole game, the things you did well and the things Duke did, you didn't make Duke pay for it. You didn't make those things hurt. Ben, I felt like every time Florida State had a self-inflicted wound, it hurt. Clemson made it hurt. And that's what a good team does. Not an elite team. We are going to overuse that word today, but not. Don't hear what I'm not saying about Clemson. Clemson looked like a winning football team because it wasn't just winning some downs. It was the critical pivot points of the game. There was one team that executed in the critical pivot points of the game, and there was one team that did not. Florida State outgained Clemson by 41 yards. Florida State out first down Clemson by 3. Florida State was better than Clemson on third down. Florida State was better than Clemson slightly in yards per play and yards per carry. But Clemson held the ball for over 34 minutes. And Clemson scored a touchdown on a flea flicker after Florida State gave him a short field. And Clemson made its field goals, and Florida State did not. And Clemson didn't turn the ball over in the red zone. And Clemson didn't turn the ball over at all in the game. And Clemson was able to run for some short yardage first downs to keep some drives alive. And Clemson started both halves winning by 10 points the first series, offense and defense of both halves, in a way that Clemson had been losing the first series of games or being tied after the first series of first halves and second halves this year. This was not Clemson's cleanest or best performance, but it was a winning performance. Because the things that generally you do when you win, Clemson did. And the things that you do when you lose, Florida State did. And that's encouraging. It actually is encouraging to me that in game 10 of the season, where the who your team is largely baked into the cake, that Clemson comfortably won. As one of the callers said, I can't remember which one in the last hour, one of the callers said, it never felt for a moment like Florida State, maybe it was Ted, it never felt for a moment like Florida State was going to win the game. And it didn't. I never thought for a single snap in a game that Florida State was going to win. Not one time. There were 132 plays, and Clemson felt like the team that was going to win in every single one of those snaps. Even for Clemson fans, and I heard this, I may have told you this, I had several people, I thought they had a meeting before halftime because they came up to me on the stage at halftime and they said, we give up a touchdown on this next drive, we're going to lose. Clemson fans have been well-conditioned this year to think, if you don't just put them away like immediately, they're going to hang around and they're going to storm back and they're going to win the game. Like, you're up 11. Guess what happened? They didn't score on the first drive. Clemson scored on their first drive and made it 21-7, and then the game was basically over at that point.
I'm going to be in the minority on what I'm about to say. I don't care because I really believe it. I also had no problem whatsoever with Clemson's play calling in the fourth quarter. None whatsoever.
I agree with this.
Would you have liked to seen them run the ball better than they did, more effectively? Yes, but at the same point, at that point, Florida State is stacking the box. The only way Florida State was going to get back in that game, the only way, would be for Clemson to have a catastrophic mistake like a pick six. And there's no need to play for style points in a game like this. You don't need style points for any polls or anything like that, for any rankings. You simply need to win the game, and you played and you called the game in the fourth quarter to win the game. And I know that upsets some fans because you want to – listen, I love offense. Love. I love to see him throw the ball. Love to see him move the ball. The only way you were letting Florida State back in that game was to do something stupid. So I have no problem with how the fourth quarter went. None.
You know, The only issue that I had is that they did stop the clock on one of the, like, it was only a 24-second possession, one of them. You know, if you're spending 2 minutes plus off the clock in a fourth quarter where you're up three scores and you know that they're not just going to drive it down your throat like that, I'm good with it. Honestly, I felt like they threw it one too many times in the fourth quarter. I would have liked to see them use another 40 seconds of clock in that second drive where they went three and out.
But even on some of those last those short, let's see, I'm going to go back and look at it here. Did Florida State not burn some timeouts?
You know what? They may have burned. Yeah, I think they did.
So
I think they did. Don't. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
We always look at clock, and I get it. I mean, at that point, clock was the most important thing. But even though it's only a 24-second drive, you're making Florida State use timeouts. So, in effect, you're burning more time. You're burning that time later.
I forgot that they started using their timeouts in that second and not the third drive. Yeah, I felt like that was Dabo playing the game. Dabo, you know, you could say sat on the ball, whatever. I wish they would have gotten a first down. But at 24-7, the game was over. And I know they needed a field goal, Ben. But when Mike Norvell trotted that kicking team out there with less than 8 minutes left, down 24-7, they made the kick. But I truly thought it's over now. Because he knows he's got to take the 3 points right now.
Right.
He knows. That's a really good point. I understand the frustration of you would have liked to get one or two first downs in the fourth quarter. But if getting a first down meant taking a risk, I'm with you. There's no reason to take any risk.
And when you're sitting there watching the game, you know, I'm with everybody else. I'm frustrated. Like, oh, God, come on, man. You took your foot off the gas. But, you know, in hindsight, that's the smart thing to do. And that's when you're up two touchdowns, that's the smart thing to do. And, you know, Texture says all the fans complaining about the play calls in the fourth quarter are the same ones who would be ripping Riley if we threw a pick. And I would be leading that charge. I would be, why are you throwing the ball up two touchdowns in the fourth? So you're right.
One more thing on that. You know that. I can't believe I'm agreeing with you on this because I was sitting behind you. You didn't know this. I had Adam Randall yards from scrimmage on underdog. And
well, that explains your pacing.
This is why you don't gamble on games you're working, which I would never. I would never do that. I never have done that. Adam Randall, I just need you to know this was my most frustrating loss of the weekend. Some of it was just bad, but it was my most frustrating loss because I had Deuce Robinson higher than 68.5 receiving yards, and he had that like 12 minutes into the game. That was like the easiest. That was the easiest one ever.
Yeah.
Randall higher than 73.5 rushing plus receiving yards, and I just need to go through the fourth quarter and just
48.
Think about
68.
Oh yeah. Think about somebody who has Adam Randall who has to watch this in the fourth quarter. My guy goes 1 yard, 4 yard, 2 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards, 1 yard. And I'm thinking 8 yards, just one break a tackle, some 8 yard gain somewhere. Just give me a chance here. So I was a little frustrated in the moment, but I had my reasons, Ben. I had my reasons. From a game plan standpoint, giving the ball to the defense and letting Florida State milk their own clock away, getting down the field, was great time management. It was great time management.
Yeah, and this is a fair question. Texas says, why are you running Cade when he's already hurt? My understanding of Cade right now is like he's not going to hurt himself. It's more of a pain tolerance thing. It's a fair question, though. If he gets hurt again, I mean, gets hit. Somebody lands on that ankle again. It could be lights out there.
Oh, now Dabo also said, and I did not realize this, that he was dealing with a quad injury too this week.
Yeah.
So there's multiple things going on down there.
Yeah, I mean that's fair.
I would agree. He had 8 carries in the game, 6 design carries. There were 2 sacks for 1 yard.
Yeah, the sack, by the way. Texture earlier talking about Jacobs at left guard. Yeah, he looks very comfortable there and has played well for the most part. On the sack, though, I don't know if Tristan Lee tackled Jacobs or if it was the other way around. But all I know is Cade was on his back and those two were on top of each other with no Florida State defender around.
Yeah,
that was a bad miss.
We both were like, all right, who's supposed to block that guy? Is it somebody was supposed to, and neither of them did. I mean, it was like neither one of them. Somebody messed up big time on that one. Because it was like Jacobs was trying to tag team, and he fell, and then Lee, like, fell. I don't really know. It was an odd play. All right, short break. When we come back, more on this game. I want to talk about I actually want to talk about Tristan Smith a little bit and some of the defensive players and some of the guys, the individual performances that we haven't hit so far. 654 Roars, the number you want to get in on the phones or on the Adams Curving text line. Hour 2 of the program continues right after this.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home, and it should be treated that way. We understand that a dry basement is a healthy basement. Our experts have the technology to keep your basement dry and mold-free. All of our services come with a transferable warranty, and the financing is available. Call Canty today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Turn on the fun and see where the light takes you. Cash Pop from the South Carolina Education Lottery is easy to play with tons of chances to win. Pick a number from 1 to 15, and you could win up to $2,500, or play all 15 numbers, and you're guaranteed to win. So let the good times glow with Cash Pop, the light of the party. Get more details at sceducationlottery.com.
Discover exceptional value and reliability at Toyota of Easley, where your satisfaction is our top priority. Whether you're in the market for a sleek sedan, a rugged SUV, or a fuel-efficient hybrid, we've got the perfect vehicle for you. Our friendly team is ready to assist with personalized service and unbeatable offers. Don't miss out on the chance to drive home your dream Toyota. Visit us today at Toyota of Easley and experience the difference.
Have you envisioned your dream home nestled on a breathtaking lakeside property? Hunter Quinn Homes can make your vision a reality with our HomeSites program. With HomeSites, you can build on your land by customizing one of our award-winning floor plans to suit your style, making it uniquely yours. Don't settle for cookie cutter. Our experienced local team will guide you every step of the way, ensuring a stress-free process. Search for Hunter Quinn HomeSites online and start building your dream home in the upstate, one exquisite detail at a time.
We are here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, you guys can help a lot as far as preparing for those winter storms.
We have a product called a tree growth regulator. It doesn't stop the tree from being healthy. It just stops it from getting taller. Growth regulating your trees will make the roots stronger, the trunk stronger long term, and they'll survive the winter storms better. You can find us on the web at SchneiderTree.com.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
Hey, Mom, checking in on you and Dad. I saw there was a huge storm in your area last night.
Oh, we're great. Power is out in our neighborhood, but thank goodness our Generac home standby generator gave us backup power so your father could sleep. We didn't skip a beat.
Oh, wonderful. I know that CPAP is his lifeline at night, and with me living a state away, I can rest easy knowing you're both safe. Love you, Mom.
Love you too, son.
Call Central Electrical Services at 864-556-8002 for your free estimate today and peace of mind for your loved ones.
Are you in the market for an auto loan? Move now. Get an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union by December 31st for the chance to win up to $25,000 towards your qualifying loan and a $5,000 deposit into your Loyalty Select account. And the best part? They'll be choosing monthly winners. So the earlier you get an auto loan, the more chances you have to win. Visit foundersfcu.com/auto to learn more. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Ever since I turned 40, I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
I was feeling the same way. After 40, the body has less testosterone, and men lose their edge. That's why I take Nugenix Total T2.
That's the testosterone booster, right?
Yes, but Total T2 is their brand new formula that skyrockets nitric oxide levels in as little as 3 hours. Since I started taking it, I've been lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. My energy is way up, and it even spikes up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yep, just send a text.
Text AREA to 42424 for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T2, the next generation testosterone booster. Text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text AREA to 42424. That's AREA to 42424.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Roar, with enough hot takes to melt your smart speaker. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Industrial Motor Service brings this hour to you today. IMS it is industrialmotorservice.com. If you have textile manufacturing, if you have servo motors, AC/DC motors, spa pumps, gearboxes, anything like that, Industrial Motor Service has got you covered. They are located in Anderson, South Carolina. They service North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. They do consulting work, help you make sure that you purchase and the correct motors that you need for the job. They can set up a maintenance plan for you. And then when something does go wrong, they have 24/7 repair service. Their job is to keep you up and running at all times. So if a motor goes down, your whole line goes down. We can't have that. Industrial Motor Service is your one-stop shop for that. Also, if you have, when something does happen, they can rewind engine motors in a lot of cases. Not very many people do that anywhere anymore. Industrial Motor Service, make a note of that website. If you're in any of those industries that I just mentioned, industrialmotorservice.com.
A couple more things here as we continue to talk about Clemson's win over Florida State. We'll talk about the rest of the college football slate coming up in a little bit as well. You know, one thing we haven't said as much, and I think it needs to be said, is Cade Klubnik again was really good in the game.
It's two games in a row that he's played very well.
Here is his stat line the last two, okay? Now, mind you, this is without his best receiver. Bryant Wesco goes down with the injury. Cade doesn't have him in these games. 47 of 63, that's 74.6%.
His best receiver is Antonio Williams.
Well, right now, yes.
Even with Wesco on the field.
You think so?
Yeah. Arguable. Okay, carry on.
It is arguable. I can see Williams. I can see arguments for Williams. 74.6% in two games. 606 yards, which is 9.6 yards per attempt, which is highly competitive nationally. That would be a upper crust nationally. Four touchdowns, three passing, one rushing, zero turnovers in two games. A lot of people giving up on Cade Klubnik. A lot of people saying it, you know, just move on. How many callers and texters we have saying move on from Cade and play Vezina and get ready for next year and see what you got? We need to see more Vezina. In fact, we were saying we should probably see a little Vezina. I still think we probably should see a little Vezina.
Sure.
More than we've been seeing. But how are you taking this guy off the field? Doing this with a bum ankle and now a quad injury on top of that? He's standing in there completing 3 out of 4 passes, almost 10 yards per attempt, and no turnovers in 2 games of football, where his team's averaging over 30 a game. Sign me up for all of that. It's still not, it's maybe not the flair and playmaking that we expected to see from Cade Klubnik, but that is a strong winning performance 2 weeks in a row from your quarterback.
Yeah, and I would say, really 4 weeks in a row. Of course, I mean, we discount those first two, North Carolina and BC, but he's played well. I mean, well, yeah, he's played well really 4 weeks in a row, but these last two against better competition, we're going to circle those. And, you know, that was my hesitation with Cade last year, was that you could point to a really solid half of football multiple times in the year. The Pitt game might have been a pretty good four-quarter game, but it was hard to really find a four-quarter game where Cade had been solid for the entirety of a game. And that's not been the case these last 2 weeks. And, you know, I know they lost to Duke. They did not lose to Duke because of the offense last week, and I think everybody knows that. So, you know, would you like to see a few more points Saturday? Yeah. But I thought Cade played well, made good decisions.
He was able to flush bad plays too, like take a sack and he stands in and next time he's making a good throw. There was only once in a game where he threw consecutive incomplete passes. That's what I want to see from a quarterback, is somebody who, something bad happens, I'm back on the horse. And especially, you know, the run game was fine, but it wasn't spectacular. I did feel like, again, if you had said, okay, in this game, one team is going to be stubborn with the run despite it not working, the other team is going to abandon the run despite it working better, I would have told you for sure I knew who was going to be which one. And in fact, the shoe was on the other foot in both instances. Florida State averaged 4 yards a carry. Mekhi Danzy had a 15-yard run. Jalen Lucas had 2 8-yard runs. Usman Kroma averaged 7 a carry. Samuel Singleton averaged almost 5 a carry. And those guys who did that combined to run the ball 12 times in the game. 12. Meanwhile, Clemson, Adam Randall and Gideon Davidson both averaged under 4 yards a carry. It was not a thing of beauty running the ball, but they stuck with it. That they were stubborn about it. Garrett Riley threw it 27 times and ran it 36. Now, some of that was when he got ahead in the game, but they were stubborn with it before they got considerably ahead in the game. In situations where it felt like in the past, Garrett Riley would have abandoned the run. 36 carries for 98 yards. If you take sacks away from Clemson, 34 carries for 109 yards, that's just 3.2 yards a carry.
Speaking of next year, Gideon Davidson, I thought he played better Saturday night than he did against Duke, actually. And, I mean, both were solid performances. But I watched him a lot, especially in like pass pro. And you know, I just thought he made solid decisions. He looks like he's seeing things a little bit better. You know, would have loved to see him break one off, sure. But for what they asked him to do, I thought he had another good performance. And you kind of see the confidence building in him. You know, we got a chance to talk to him last Tuesday, and he's a really impressive kid. I mean, really impressive kid. By the way, I don't think we even talked about this on the air. I know I told him off the air. He's got enormous hands for his size.
Massive.
And I've got big hands, so when somebody shakes my hand and you know, I can feel, I'm used to wrapping my hand around somebody, and he said, yeah, I can hold on to the ball better.
Like, sure you can, buddy.
Yeah.
He was a great kid. He was great to have on the air.
He really was. And you're starting to get a glimpse of why he was so highly thought of out of high school.
Yes, 100% agree with that. Orange Bill says the final nine runs were pretty awful and we went three and out of those final three possessions. Look, I agree with that, but it didn't – I mean, I'm looking at the yards per carry average. Clemson was 2.8 in the first quarter, 4.3 in the second quarter. That one's fine. 2.1 in the third quarter and 1.3 in the fourth quarter. So it's not like they were doing really well in three quarters and then bogged down the fourth quarter. My point is that Clemson at no point was like just overwhelming Florida State with the run game, but they did enough to move the chains. They did enough to stay on the field some, and they did enough to give Cade Klubnik some better windows to throw the football. They kept Florida State honest in a game where you could have sort of seen, I'm not even talking about Clemson's offensive coordinator, but an offensive coordinator going, you know what, on second and seven, maybe let's not run it. And Clemson sort of stuck with the run. They stuck with the run. They did a good job of that. Let's go to Mike and Anderson, who's up with us next. What's up, Mike?
Not much. Just hanging out, enjoying the show. A couple of things. Had a question, a quick comment, and Ben just brought it up. I swear I was going to mention it anyway. I heard the Gideon Davidson interview last week, and I left the interview thinking, what an intelligent, impressive young man. He doesn't even talk like a freshman. He seems to be, he just got his head screwed on straight, you know? Very impressive young man, seemingly, by listening to an interview.
I agree with that. We talked a little bit about his story. I mean, he's adopted from Africa, and he has grown up here and just gone. He's gone through a lot of things in his life. There are a couple of great stories online. In fact, I'll try to find those maybe and share them. But there are a couple of great stories online about just his upbringing and how he's just had opportunities to rise above his circumstances. And I think that his life story builds uncommon maturity. And I think you see that in the way he plays, and I think you see it in the way he speaks. And I just think he's lived enough life to be able to have that type of perspective.
Well, I think he's going to be a big one moving forward. I hope so. But on the thing you and Ben were talking about Klubnik, and of course, the last 2 weeks he's played much better than early in the season. And I understand early in the season he was missing Antonio Williams, and that was a bigger deal than most people talked about. Walt brought that up one day. It's just his security blanket. But, you know, the wide receiver room seemed to be not a mess, but just kind of lost. The offensive line wasn't playing well. A lot of people were questioning Garrett Riley's play calling. What would I've been watching college football a long, long time, and I don't think I've ever watched a quarterback for any team that frustrates me more, in the sense that one week he looks legitimate, if not like a Heisman contender, at least a first-round quarterback or early second round, and then some weeks he just looked so lost. What, other than the things I've mentioned, would some of that just be a mental thing, or how would you guys diagnose the problem? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. You know, I think one of the most fascinating things that we will talk about this week is the Cade Klubnik, the big game thing that Cade Klubnik has. Now, I'm gonna say what we said in the open of the show, that Saturday's game, like the crowd, the environment, that was a big game. Big game. It was the first time in a while that Cade Klubnik beat a quarterback that actually had a better ESPN QBR than him. It's been a while since that happened. Can you go on the road and take down a better football team? That's the question. Some of it, Mike, is that he looks better against teams that are more talented or have made of the, you know, your team's made of better stock. Your team's got a better culture or whatever the case is. You could totally tell that Florida State was, I mean, it was a ride-the-wave team. Did you know, and I can't believe I missed it, do you know they haven't won a road game since a Florida game in 23, Florida State? Like, all the talk about, Clemson fans are very pessimistic coming into the game. Florida State has played pretty well in their building, but they have not played well. Their best road game was at Virginia, Scott Stadium, on that Friday night. So I think Cade Klubnik looks better in games where the other team is vulnerable. What we haven't seen from Cade is when in a tough, gritty, like down-to-the-end situation, seeing him overcome against a like team. And I think we'll have that opportunity. Now, that doesn't mean he's never made any clutch plays. That the run against Pittsburgh, even the drive against South Carolina, Cade Klubnik made some plays at the end, and it wasn't his fault that the interception happened. I don't think that was necessarily his fault. I wouldn't put it on him entirely. But that's the difference, I think, is that like in the biggest games, in the biggest moments where you need your quarterback to rise above, he just has simply not been able to do that in the most competitive parts of the game. And that is something that will be put to the test this week against a Louisville team that does not have a better quarterback than Cade Klubnik and does not have a better passing game than Clemson. But they do have a defense that can make it tough on you. So I am interested to follow that aspect of Friday's game against Louisville. And that we've had a couple texts about what does this mean for Louisville. I'm not sure this means a lot for Louisville, other than Cade Klubnik goes into that game off of, Ben, as you said, four consecutive really good performances, including a performance in a, you know, in kind of a charged atmosphere against Florida State that you would say that was a winning performance, no doubt about it. Jerry, we're coming to you on the other side of a quick break. Before we do that, let me tell you about Gary Mahaffey, Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. These are tremendous people. You're talking about the Medicare marketplace that is just a bear. It is just a bear to navigate it. But Gary and Jeannie Mahaffey, for years now, they have been helping people find their spot within that marketplace. And their service, free to all. It is a service that is, well, it's a business that is built on service and affordability and making sure that their clients get what they need and get what they deserve. And everybody that Gary employs comes with his personal seal of approval. We have lots of people in our audience that have worked with Gary and Jeannie in the past, and I'd love to recommend them. Cannot recommend them more highly. Again, Insurance for Seniors and Disabled, that's Gary and Jeannie Mahaffey. Give them a call. Schedule an appointment. You will thank me later. Jerry, we are coming to you on the other side. Hour two of the program continues right after this. Fall weather offers a great opportunity to get creative in your kitchen and your backyard when preparing meals for family, friends, and neighbors. And nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to fresh seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables from right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend cookout, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're traveling or heading to the mountains, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel purchases before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles Pharmacy to save on prescriptions. If you're having a family get-together or reunion, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter just for you. The Ingles Floral Department has beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. Take it from me. You'll find everything you need at your local Ingles. Low prices, love the savings.
You ask QC Kinetics for more pain treatment options, more affordable relief. You've asked for more flexibility, and they've listened. So starting now, your joint pain is a scale of 5 or is it a 10? Maybe you're a weekend warrior, pickleballer, a golfer, a runner, and you just need to get that joint pain. You've had it for years. Maybe you're facing surgery. However, they've got all kinds of new treatments as well. So flexible regenerative treatments now, scalable options for you. If you have minor issues, they're there to help you. Major issues, they're there to help you. You're going to love QC Kinetics. They're going to meet you wherever you are right now with the telemedicine The consultation there, it's all easy. Don't go underneath the knife. Don't do more drugs. Get it done and get it done right. QC Kinetics is helping more people than ever with flexible options with regenerative cell therapy. Do this. Call them 864-766-8454. 864-766-8454. If you need help, you need it now. 864-766-8454 in Greenville and in Asheville.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
At Blue Ridge Heating and Air, comfort and flexibility go hand in hand. For a limited time, choose the savings that fit your budget best. With 60 months no interest financing or a $2,000 rebate upfront on select heat pumps, which can qualify for federal tax credits and electric company rebates. That's 5 years interest free or $2,000 or more back in your pocket. Call today and find out which option works best for you at BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Blue Ridge Heating and Air, a preferred Armstrong Air dealer.
Do you need to reboot your style? If your work boots kick the bucket, then get to Harrison. We're the boot capital of the world with more in-stock boots than anyone. Work boots, western boots, hiking boots, rain boots, and plenty of wow boots. Job site, rodeo, tailgate, honky-tonk, Harrison's has boots for all walks of life. But if you need to put your best foot forward, stop by Harrison, the home of work, western, and wow! Come see us in Malden and Spartanburg or shop online at harrisonsusa.com. Boots you're after, Harrison's has them.
The upstate leader in sports by day, worldwide leader in sports by night. We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
All right, hour two continues out of bounds. Jerry, we're coming to you in a second. First, let me tell you about decision-making. Kate Clemens' decision-making on point. Garrett Riley's decision-making this weekend, pretty well on point. Tom Allen's on point. Can you say the same for your teenager? Some days, yes. Some days, maybe not so much. We're trying to funnel those teenagers in the right direction.
I can't wait for you to have a teenager. I cannot wait.
Oh, brother. Phoenix Dinner's helping. Phoenix Dinner's helping people like me who just need some help in guiding teenagers in the right direction. Just making sure that they know that the majority of teenagers make good decisions around alcohol, drugs, and vaping. And a lot of teenagers feel like they're fighting a losing battle when they're trying to abstain from those things. But the Phoenix Center has they have ways to naturally weave those themes of just abstaining from those substances while you're young. Into normal, everyday conversation with your kids, with your teens. It is parents, but it goes beyond parents to coaches and teachers and vendors and pastors and the people who have influence on young people, extended family members. For more on how you can help a teenager in your life naturally, go to phoenixcenter.org, check under resources, phoenixcenter.org, check under resources. Let's go to Jerry in Anderson, who joins us next. 654 Roy, if you'd like to join him there. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Quark, how you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for getting in.
We're going to win Friday night. I have no reason except that we won this past set, and we know how it feels. We're just going to win. I made the comment to fellows on the number one chain gang of the nation in a text that if we won this game, we would win Friday night. Now, unfortunately, Quark and Ben, the number one chain gang of the nation will not be able to see the entirety of that game because We'll be on the field. Excuse me. We'll be on the field for having Greenville rematch, which you know Greenville is going to really want that one real bad after Hannah kind of pulled it away from them a couple weeks ago. So, but I watched the basketball game Friday night, and I was really impressed with the play of the guys, the way they moved the ball, the energy that I saw. So I'll hang up, and y'all have a good one, guys.
Thanks very much, Jerry. Appreciate the phone call.
I just caught the tail end of it. Was he talking about Clemson basketball?
He was talking about Clemson basketball.
Yay!
Oh, yeah. We get to talk about them. Can I say one thing about he was talking about Hannah and Greenville. Hannah, that wild finish where Greenville tried to kick it out of bounds and Hannah returns a kickoff. They rematch this weekend in the playoffs.
Oh, do they really?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be T.L. Hannah's going to be an electric factory. You know, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, he mentioned basketball. We should say, it feels like Friday was a lifetime ago, but Clemson did take down New Hampshire 88-38 Friday night in what I thought was another solid performance. And you try to start, you know, focusing in on wait a minute, was it New Hampshire?
It was
No. That's
USC. No.
I'm giving you the score.
Gardner Webb. I was sitting here thinking,
like,
I was
wait
like, wait a minute.
88-38 sounds like the first game.
Yeah.
97-59.
There we go. Look, it's a good problem to have that you're mixing up blowout wins.
97-59. You know, the only thing to upset about that one is you didn't get to 100. You're so close.
Had a chance.
Yeah, it was a similar game to the first one. One thing I noticed about that stuck out to me about Clemson in this game, Carter Welling, who is coming off the bench. That dude, he's an animal. He knows how to use his size. And now he was going against a team that had smaller interior presence. I realize that, but you watch him play. They play tomorrow night, as a matter of fact. You can watch him and listen to him right here. Welling knows how to drop a shoulder and kind of run into you and make some space, but not so much that he gets called for an offensive foul. He's a tough guy. And you've got somebody like that coming off the bench right now? Wow.
One thing that I'll note before we go back to the phones. Remember Brad Brownell told us last week that the twos beat the ones in practice sometimes? Like fairly regularly? And, you know, I try not to overreact. And even the first impression you get from a team, when you're facing teams that you should blow out and you blow them out, you don't want to overreact to that. But given the totality of information, Brad Brownell's compared this team to the COVID team that people didn't see and they played 10 guys. Ben, we knew who the starters were on that team.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of that second unit. Like, I'm not sure there were many people on the second unit that could have started. It was a deep team, but you knew who the starters and the backups are.
You know, and I feel like it's okay to say this. Through the first two games, you're only returning player in Dylan Hunter he's not been one of your two best guards in the two up. I mean, he's gotten off to a little bit of a slow start. He's gonna come around. I mean, I'm not worried about Dylan, but you know, it's not as if he's carrying the outside scoring, and I think that was the assumption many made going into the season. It's been anything but. I mean, he's been more of a complimentary piece. Now, Dylan's still an elite defender. There it is again.
Elite.
Another elite. I mean, he really is. He's a really good defender. But he hasn't. I mean, it's been, like I say, just a complimentary piece, which has been a great thing for the younger players just to kind of get their feet wet.
Three turnovers in 68 possessions in the game. First of all, if you've got 68 possessions and you're scoring 97, you're averaging 1.43 points per possession. That is flat out. That is absurd. I don't care who you're playing. It's hard to do that in practice, okay? I don't care who you're playing. That is an absurd number. It ain't like they got in a track meet and scored 100 points. They were playing. It was a fairly like methodical game with a lot of half-court possessions, and they almost scored 100 right there. But you're right. I mean, you could argue that Ace Buckner has been better than Dylan Hunter so far. But look at Dylan's stat line, though. 7 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, no turnovers in 21 minutes.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I don't remember how many turnovers they had in the first game, but it wasn't but a handful. The lack of turnovers has been one thing that's caught my eye, because you're talking about a team with so many new pieces and you're learning how to play with each other and all of that. I expected some, you know, and young guys handling the ball. You haven't turned the ball over at all.
All right, this is fun for me. 133 possessions in the first two games. How many turnovers do you think they've had?
8.
So close.
Really?
9. 9 turnovers in 133 possessions. That's really freaking good. They had 6 against New Hampshire in 65 possessions and 3 in 68 on Friday night.
Now, Morehead State probably going to be your best competition, better than your first two tomorrow night.
I would say so.
A similar type team.
We don't need to talk about the last time.
Oh, yeah. Don't even bring it up.
We don't even need to bring it up. Don't even need to talk about it.
Saturday, you played Georgetown in the Capital One Arena, the Wizards Arena there in Washington. You'll find out a little bit more about your team when you play Georgetown. Georgetown took down Maryland Friday night. Georgetown looks like they're a pretty good team this year. So that's going to be a nice early season test.
We did warn of that, I will say. If you listen to the show, you were forewarned about Georgetown going to Maryland with a new roster.
That's
year
right.
Two for Ed Cooley. And he's kind of done it with, like, there are a couple names on the roster, but it's not like it's a who's who of portal guys. He's got a team with a little bit of a spine on him. Texter points out, Jed says, is there not a better trifecta inside in the ACC, one of the best nationally, in Nick Davis and R.J. Godfrey and Carter Welling? The force that Welling plays with, I use this word, the force that he plays with is disarming.
And that's what I was referring to. The thing is, Davidson and Welling are not on the floor together a lot.
Right.
But still, I mean, to your point, you have 3 solid interior, and they're not the biggest, that they're not going to be the biggest in the league, but so far, I mean, they're just tough.
Like, Welling, to me, Davidson is, he's going to just lazily, and lazily is more of just the perception, the way he plays, he's going to lazily get you 18-7. He's just going to, like, finish around the rim and get offensive rebound, tip back, and go 4 for 5 from the line and just do all that. Welling is going to give you 2 blocks into the 5th row and 3 emphatic dunks in a game, and he's going to get a double-double that way.
He's a little of an old-school type of a player, is he not?
Yes.
I mean, I was telling you, we have listeners that'll know what I'm talking about. He's the Boston College or the Virginia player or somebody like that that wears a headband that you just hate. That's
oh,
who
yeah.
he is. Like, you don't really look the part, but you're capable of a double-double pretty much any time. And you're just going to frustrate the opponent. That's kind of who he is. And, again, you got him coming off the bench.
Whew. Tough. Let's go to Tennessee Tiger. We got about 2 minutes till top of the hour here. What's up, Tennessee Tiger?
Hey, Qual. A few things here. Ben announced that the New York Giants fired their head coach, and they waited till Monday morning to find out if any major college coaches had been fired before they made that announcement.
They didn't want to.
You know, because
they didn't want to yeah. get trampled on. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Did you two watch any of the Oregon-Iowa game?
Yes, did watch a decent amount of that.
Oh, okay. That final drive when that quarterback, you know, they had to get down in field goal range, and that pass that quarterback made, it went right past that cornerback's jersey. It reminded me of Deshaun Watson's pass in the Georgia game when they brought him in when he was a freshman. That pass was an NFL pass. It just went right past his shoulder, and the receiver, you know, just reached out around him. Anyway,
I agree. That was a great. It's one of the best throws I've seen all year from a college QB. Yeah. That was a sensational throw.
Now I want to run this past you, both of you, in the Clemson game. And was it the third quarter? And Florida State was in the red zone, and they threw the pass down in the corner, the front corner of the end zone, and the Clemson defender made the interception, but they said he was out of bounds. Okay, listen to me. When the receiver makes the catch and his toe, his foot hits the ground inside, and then his heel doesn't, you know, come down out of bounds, that's a catch. Okay, the Florida defender was there on the sideline, and he caught the ball and came down on the defender. Now listen to this. When the running back or a receiver's got the ball and he's tackled, but he's tackled not on the ground, but he rolls over one or two defenders on the ground, he's not counted as down, and he gets to roll over and get up and still run, correct?
Correct, unless the guy's out of bounds.
Right,
but if the guy's out of bounds.
So what's the difference of a receiver or a defender catching the ball?
Well,
his foot comes down in bounds, but his heel comes down.
Wait, Tennessee Tiger, we got to run. We'll do it at top of the hour after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if you're like me, you probably started out using your personal phone, taking client calls and texts nonstop. As my business grew, I needed something smarter. That's when I switched to Quo, the number one business phone system. Quo works right on your phone or computer. No carrying two phones, no clunky landline, just one easy app you can try for free. Your team can share one number and handle calls and texts together, like a shared inbox. Any teammate can jump into the conversation so customers get faster responses. And Quo's AI assistant summarizes your calls and responds to customers 24/7 so you never miss a lead or opportunity. All this starts at just $15 a month. That's basically two coffees. You can even keep your current business phone number. Find out why 90,000 businesses trust Quo. No missed calls, no missed customers. Try Quo for free at quo.com/sports. That's quo.com/sports to try Quo free. quo.com/sports.
When you shop for the holidays with AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, you're supporting real folks who care about what ends up on your plate. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market brings together the best of the Carolinas with a farm-to-table spirit, offering fresh, restaurant-quality cuts you'll feel proud to serve. Around here, good food starts with good people. Raised right, prepared right, and shared with love. Good food, good neighbors, great holidays. AMPM Farms Butchery.